The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast. Dr. Taz.
Your good health journey starts now. Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Dr. Taz, and this is my podcast. I'm absolutely honored today to have with me Jessa Blades. You guys are in for a real treat. Jessa Blades is a makeup artist. She is a natural beauty and wellness expert, and she's an herbalist based both in Brooklyn and LA. She was inspired by the idea of true healing and wellness, and I got a chance to meet Jessa and just know that she lives this, you know, through and through. But Jessa made the switch to natural products and founded her company, Blades Natural Beauty, in 2008, where she provides simple routines, pure products, and expert advice. She splits her time as a makeup artist for celebrity and fashion clients, and she also consults about natural and healing products and founded an online shop selling her signature line of skincare and hand-blended herbal teas in addition to her favorite natural beauty and wellness products. Welcome to the show, Jessa.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be talking with you.
And just for our, you know, for anyone listening out there, I met Jessa at a conference that we were both at in September. And she is amazing in how she sort of combines all these different skills that she's acquired over the years together. And Jessa, you know, I know we have a lot to talk about and we're going to jump right in, but I would love for our audience to hear your story and how you went from makeup and beauty and being a makeup artist to entering the world of, you know, healing and natural medicine and herbal medicine and kind of combining all of that together.
Yeah, sure thing. It's been a really interesting journey. I started out studying art and psychology in college, really interested in color and line and composition and using the face as the canvas and how amazing makeup transforms the mood, you know, how self-esteem can really be improved by putting on a beautiful new red lipstick and how there's a lot more that needs to be improved. It's not going to fix everything, but how it actually really has an incredible impact. And that fascinated me. So I studied that, and then after school, I went to Toronto, Canada, and went to a fashion makeup program. So learning how to do makeup on set for editorial and commercial work. And I have been doing that work ever since. But about 8 years ago, I, you know, was really looking at the industry and hearing that there were toxins in the beauty products that I was using, and was really shocked because I had, you know, worked behind a makeup counter, worked using these products forever, and had never heard that there were things like lead in lipstick or mercury in mascara or hormone mimicking ingredients in our lotions and those sort of things. And I thought, if women don't know this and I'm an expert and I don't know this, then I really need to educate myself. And that I did. I started on the activist side, so working with places like the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics and Teens Turning Green and the Environmental Working Group, trying to get the legislation changed, because there is no legislation around personal care. The FDA does not regulate it, which is pretty crazy.
And we're far behind because you've got, you know, the European Union, the bans, yeah. I think it's over 100 to 150 cosmetic ingredients that are not banned here in the U.S. Am I right about that?
No, you're totally right. And, yeah, we've banned about 9. And companies have to reformulate their same products for Europe but can sell their older formulas in America because we don't have any of those regulations.
That's such a shame.
It's such a shame. And I really just felt like, you know, there's such a disconnect. I want to work on the activist side, but at the same time, I was feeling completely depressed, honestly, and unmotivated, because I just thought, like, this is a $60 billion industry. How on earth do I change this? And at that time, I was also struggling to heal my own skin. So it was a beautiful moment where I found a woman named Rosemary Gladstar up in Vermont and realized that I could start studying plant medicine and really looking at the ingredients that were, you know, the good ingredients in products versus looking at all the toxins, start looking at the beautiful rosemary essential oil and the wonderful beeswax in products, and using these plants to help heal the skin instead of talking and focusing on the negative toxins, but really focus on the good ingredients. So that's how I got into the whole world of Western herbalism, and I have been studying that and using that for years to help heal more on the internal side, really helping clients balance stress and really looking at the skin as a beautiful communicator instead of, you know, just topically treating it and being upset at my own skin. I was able to really look at what was happening with my own skin and start to heal it.
I think what a lot of people don't understand, Jessa, and you nailed it basically, is that the skin is one of your largest organs. And as one of your largest organs, you know, everything you put on it and everything you do to it is going to affect your internal health and vice versa. Everything you're doing internally is reflected on the skin. And the older systems of medicine, as we both know and we talked about, like Chinese medicine or Ayurvedic medicine, you know, they looked at your face as a way to judge your entire body, your emotional state, you know, your mental state, all of it. And they would read faces and really try to understand faces. So, you know, while it may seem superfluous to think, oh, I'm just doing makeup, I bet that you learn so much from your clients and learn so much about your clients as you're taking care of their faces.
100%. And, you know, I have to, when I have a client sit down or a model sit down in my chair, I have to have gained their trust in about 60 seconds, you know, and it's an incredible feat to do because you are, you know, taking off, for instance, all of their makeup, and then you're having them trust you. And that's a really emotional experience. I also think, you know, being able to work with clients and help honor their emotions, as maybe that is what is going on and why they're covered in hives, you know, being able to see that that is a big part of how the skin responds to stress or emotional states of disease. And currently, most dermatologists that I have talked to in my life are not honoring that. They're not saying, maybe you are covered in those hives because, you know, your mother passed away and you had to move her house and you lost your job, you know, and that's the reason why you are covered in hives, instead of you have dermatitis and I'm just going to call it out as skin and irritation and just give you a prescription for something topical, instead of really honoring the emotional state and the mind-body connection.
And that, I think, it's that skill of really trying to pull that out of whoever's sitting in your chair. You call yourself a holistic skin coach. And when I see this, I kind of smile. I'm like, we all need a holistic skin coach. Who doesn't need that? But I mean, you know, and I think it's fascinating how, you know, you've drawn from these different worlds. You've drawn from the world of psychology. You've drawn from the world of makeup and being a makeup artist. You've drawn from herbalism. You've drawn from Ayurveda to formulate this career for yourself, almost a niche of being a holistic skin coach. I think my audience would love to know, and I would love to know, you know, when a person sits in your makeup chair, how does all of that fuse together? What do you do first? What do you do second? And then how are you able to kind of, you know, quickly connect the dots and deliver the information to the person sitting in front of you?
Yeah, it's really a different experience with each client. Some people come to me and they've experienced some really serious health concerns and they want to detoxify their whole makeup bag and they want to heal their skin, and they're completely 100% open to everything I say, and they're open to changing their diet, and they're open to adding some perhaps adaptogenic herbs and going to start acupuncture and also using a clean mascara and a non-toxic face oil. You know, they're ready. They're totally open. Mm-hmm. And that's great because I can really look at the aspects of what they're putting on their skin, whether through their face wash and through their shampoo and through their toothpaste, really look at all that personal care. Also look at what they're putting in, looking at the pharmaceuticals and looking at the diet, sort of looking at that. And then I also can really look at the stress, how their emotional state, how is their sleep, how is their digestion, really looking at that lifestyle. And you know, some people come to me not in that place at all. They say, oh, you do makeup and you make people look naturally beautiful. And I say, sure,
make me prettier.
Come sit down. And it's neat. I really try and meet people where they are. You know, for the people who have never heard of non-toxic natural beauty or eco beauty, green beauty, maybe I just show them this wonderful cheek stain and they're like, wow, my cheeks don't feel dry and I don't look like I'm wearing a whole face of makeup and look crazy. And I'm like, okay, yeah. You know, just slowly getting them different products, healthier products, or helping them stop stripping their face so much with their face wash that they're using. And then they realize that they actually don't have, you know, oily skin. They actually have pretty balanced skin. They've just been using products that were really disrupting the natural balance. And it's then they sort of, they come over slowly. You know, then like, wait, what were you saying about maybe
right? It's the
sugar?
Slow journey. I always call it the slow journey to the other side. Welcome to our side. No, but
totally
I think you really touched on, like, for example, looking at your makeup bag and really evaluating your makeup bag. I mean, I know my makeup bag. We were joking last time. You know, I've got, you know, probably 50 products, but I really only use maybe 3 to 4 at the most. So I think we all walk around with a very cluttered makeup bag, half of which we don't use. And not only are we spending a lot of money on that makeup, but sometimes it's really not the best quality for us. And then looking at the connection, I think, between diet and your skin, and then paying attention to stress, I think as a physician, I mean, I know that how critical it is that everyone will try to buy the fanciest products and the best stuff. But if they don't manage those key elements of stress and diet and food and rest, then no matter how much money you spend, you kind of keep hitting yourself against a wall. And I know I experienced that, you know, all through my 20s until I really was able to put the pieces of my health together. I think the other thing I like about a holistic skin coach is, as a physician, I think there's a lot of intimidation about always going to the doctor for something. And I think you're such a neat gateway that before somebody even makes a doctor's appointment, you might be their first step to awareness. So I think that in itself is powerful and such an important piece of information that people often miss. What are some of the common things that show up in your chair when a client sits down, whether it's a model or an executive who has a big event or just a ordinary average person who's dressing up? Kind of what shows up in your chair usually?
Well, lately I've been seeing a ton of dry skin, a ton of eczema. I also see a lot of people saying, you know, natural makeup doesn't work. I don't believe it, or it's more expensive. So it's neat because I sort of talk about all areas where I, with those folks who sit down and they say, you know, I'm not ready to give up my conventional beauty products because I just don't think it works, or, you know, I don't trust it. And the truth is, with most people, they don't know even how to apply their own makeup.
Let's stop for a second. Where's that coming from? Because I hear that all the time. Natural makeup doesn't work. If you've got a TV shoot or a video shoot or something really big, then you've got to go back to the regular stuff. And natural stuff, whether it's makeup, food, whatever you want to talk about, is always too expensive. So it's too expensive to be natural. Now, where do those two myths come from? And what have you seen in your experience?
I really believe in making the switch with the products that you're using every day. So the 360 days out of the year, what are you using? What are you reapplying? Is it your lipstick you're reapplying? That should be natural. Most people don't need a lipstick to last for 8 hours under bright light while they're diving in and out of a pool, you know, on a photo shoot. If they're getting married or if they're on TV, you know, conventional makeup is waterproof. It has those synthetic preservatives that work really well to stay on your face. And I think that is not what people need to worry about as much for those 4 or 5 days per year where they're using products that last a really long time. For natural products, you know, what you're wearing every day, if you're sitting at your desk or you're running around doing errands, you don't need a full face of makeup that's going to last under the bright lights and last through sweat, that kind of thing. You know, conventional makeup works really well, but so does McDonald's, so does Spam. You know,
that's true. You can have food. It's convenient.
You know, it's convenient. You can leave Spam in your cabinet for many, many years and it won't change the state. But we also know that eating organic food that is grown with intention and love and really high quality ingredients and really good soil is much better for our body. And it's the same with natural beauty. You know, you don't need those 20 products in your bathroom cabinet anymore. You need about 3. And then when you finish them up and then you buy them again, you don't need to have the 20 products that last for 10 years and don't separate. You know, that's what those ingredients are doing. They're helping those products last on the shelf, but they're also filled with preservatives that aren't good for your body.
Okay, so we're going to go through a fun exercise right now. We're going to clean up our imaginary makeup bag and our beauty care products right now. So for everybody listening, take notes. So you go ahead and open up your makeup bag and look in it. Jessa, I want you to tell us the 3 things we need for makeup and for skincare, and limit it down to three that every woman should have and should have as a high quality, maybe a natural, more of a natural product because we're using it frequently and we're using it all the time. So let's pick three for makeup and maybe three for skincare.
Sure thing. I think for makeup, most people in my experience would benefit from reapplying the most of these products. So I would say mascara, getting a non-toxic mascara that makes your lashes look really full. That's easy to find. I'd say a lip product because you tend to reapply your lipstick a lot. And what's great about having this one lip product is you can also then swipe it on your cheeks, blend it in a little circle, and you have a cheek product. So it's like a two-in-one. You can definitely wear lipstick on your cheeks, everybody. It is allowed. And then I would say sort of before you're putting it on your cheeks, some sort of foundation concealer in one. You know, you probably don't need both if you are listening to what's going on with your skin, eating a healthy diet, healing your skin with natural skincare, which we'll talk about in a second. If your skin is pretty balanced, you don't need to cover it with a huge amount of foundation and a huge amount of concealer. So finding a non-toxic sort of concealer, foundation, color all in one that matches your skin to cover it up a little bit, I would say is something that you're using every day. So I'd want that to be natural.
So foundation, and concealer, foundation, mascara, mm-hmm. and a lip and cheek color. So which can
totally.
Double up based. Some of those can double up as in one. And that already would, you know, that simplifies my bag down. But I already know my questions. I'm like, what about powder? What about an eyebrow pencil? What about all that other stuff?
I know,
I mean,
but
is
you
all
only
that
gave
even
me
necessary?
Three.
I know. Do we need powder? Do we need all these other things or not really when we're doing our daily makeup?
Yeah, I know. I mean, powder's great. It helps take away shine and it helps make your foundation last. So that is great to have as more of a non-toxic ingredient list. But yeah, you only gave me three, so...
Yes, I did. So that right there would save everyone money. And I think it would also,
yep.
and one thing that you're alluding to that I often do too, is that it's our cumulative load. So I think it's really important to be picky about these things that we're using over and over throughout the day, that we're using every day of the month, not as picky maybe about things that we do on a special occasion, almost equating it to food. Like we might splurge on a meal every now and then, but
for
you know,
sure.
our day-to-day food should be clean and healthy as well. So let's switch to skincare and talk us through that. That one.
Yeah, so skincare, I would say definitely what you wash your face with. I think it needs to be very gentle and not very foaming. So, you know, avoiding sodium lauryl sulfate, ingredient that really foams, is important because that really strips your skin. And so your skin then actually has to overproduce oil because it's so dry and you've stripped it so much and it's so tight after you washed it. So finding a face wash that is more of a creamy, milky type cleanser or even, you know, a powder that you add water to is really nice, really gentle. Your face shouldn't burn. It shouldn't feel tight after you wash it. I'd say that's really important. The other thing I'd say is make the switch over is to use a face oil. So using not an essential oil, but a carrier oil. So something like an olive base, a sesame base, a jojoba base, a sweet almond oil base. And then in that, you know, you can buy all different ones that have some drops of essential oil or have a blend of olive and jojoba oil, for instance. But using oil is really important because your face, you know, your skin actually produces oil. It's not going to clog like most people are afraid of. I always like to remind people the way you make lotion is you take oil and water and you whip it together and it turns white. And that's what lotion is.
I love that.
But then
and
you have
I
to
love
figure out how to preserve that.
Too.
So that's where you get into preservatives. So when you're making a lotion, you have to figure out how they've preserved it. And a lot of times those preservatives are ingredients that we want to avoid. So sticking with a straight oil, then you don't have to worry so much about preserving it. It's more of a shelf-stable product.
Makeups, do they need to be thrown away more quickly? Like, what's their shelf life usually?
Yeah, they do. I mean, they have definitely less of a shelf life. It's usually 6 months to a year, depending on when you open it and depending on the product. And that's exactly why, when I was saying before, you know, buy less and then finish them. You know, finish them out. It's like a whole new concept for women to actually finish beauty products. We don't seem to do that. We like to keep whole cabinets full of them. And another trick I say is, like, if you're trying to pare down and you have a ton right now, it's like that face oil that you use or that face lotion that you use that you sort of want to get rid of, you can also put that on your feet and you can make it like a foot oil. You know, you can make it a foot lotion. You can make it your body lotion. Like, finish this stuff up, and when you rebuy it, you can purchase products that are a little bit more expensive that use really good quality ingredients, and then you just have less. So you're actually, you're saving money in the end if you do it.
And I think that's the same concept with food too, that there's a lot of cheap, convenient, fast food, but you know, when you buy higher quality food, you often need less, you don't eat as much, and in the long run, you end up saving money. So I guess it's the same is true for skincare. For skincare, we decided then a face wash, a face oil, and what was your third? I think I interrupted you.
So, no problem. It's going to be deodorant. So a non-toxic deodorant. So putting a product in there in your very sensitive, like, lymph area, right next to your breast tissue is really important to make sure that's as non-toxic as possible versus an antiperspirant that's helping you to not perspire, which is, you know, a detox mechanism of your body that's really important. It's so important to sweat. If we didn't sweat, we would die. Am I right?
Like, all right. Really, so important. for all my women out there, I hope you have been taking notes and I hope you're writing this stuff down. So clean out your makeup bags, get down to those three products, make sure those are the highest quality, most natural ingredients, because you're applying those over and over again throughout the day. And I know nobody wants mercury lipstick or lead mascara or, you know, any of that stuff on our face. And then really pare down your skincare routine, because that not only will not strip your skin, but it'll save you money. And also, same thing, it just lowers that toxic load, which we talk about all the time. How frustrating, Jessa, is the beauty industry right now? You talked about legislating and advocacy, and I know a lot of different brands are emerging that are trying to meet this need that all women, you know, are demanding, that, you know, take this junk out of our stuff. It's making us sick. You know, where's the beauty industry in all of that? And what do you sort of foresee? What are you frustrated by? What are you hoping for? Fill us in a little bit on what's going on the big, kind of the big national landscape.
Yeah, I see it as a real time for growth. You know, it's really a lot easier now to get natural products, whether through online or through actual store products in stores. I'm excited for the beauty industry to stop looking at only the topical side of beauty and really look at, like, what is vitality and what is real nourishment, and looking at how we can get that through inside health, and just seeing that skin is a real mirror of what's happening internally. You know, I think buying a non-toxic concealer is great to put on your acne, but why do you have acne? And how do we really make that connection for people that they're making decisions? You know, it's this funny challenge. It's like, you want to empower people to say you can heal this, but you don't want to make them feel powerless and like you're blaming them for the acne, for instance. So I think it's a time of real empowerment and really saying, like, who is making these decisions for me? Is it marketing? Is it the beauty industry? Is it culture? Like, do I really need a face toner? And can somebody tell me how to use it? And if you can't, what are these ingredients? And tell me how this was made. You know, in the same way we've really started to look at our food, it's like enough of just this culture of buying more and more and supporting a $60 billion industry that is completely unregulated. It's a really feminist act to me, and a really exciting moment to say, like, I want to heal myself. I can heal myself. And it's really not going to come from buying more products and just treating this topically. It's really about looking at the body as a beautiful communicator, like an elegant equation of, you know, inputs that we're taking in and ways we're feeling. And yeah, we all want to have, you know, beautiful makeup, and we all want to look really vital, but really having more fun with it instead of feeling like powerless from it and like we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, and I think you've touched on, I mean, I think my hope for women moving forward, whether we're talking food or makeup or herbs or whatever we're talking about, is to really shift the paradigm, really shift the intention. I think the makeup industry and the beauty industry, and I'm just as much a part of this, so I'm definitely not being judgmental, but I think the entire industry is built on women feeling insecure and playing into that insecurity, you know, hey, you know, you have dark circles, use this. Hey, you have saggy skin, do this. And then, of course, that extends to the world of plastic surgery as well. But it would be so amazing if women could really flip that paradigm and really instead be thinking, hey, what's going to empower me more? What's going to make me feel better? What's going to make me be the best version of myself? And I bet their buying decisions and even the things that they seek would be so much different than what they are today. So I think I would call out all of us, myself included, all women, that, you know, we should always be thinking of how we can empower ourselves. And then our purchasing power is a reflection of how we empower ourselves. But what would you like to see from a legislative standpoint? I'm curious to see, like, if you could wave a magic wand, what would you like to see happen?
I would like to see, you know, similar to what we have in Europe, where there are known chemicals of concern, I would like that, you know, these companies to not be able to use them, you know, or have to, have an actual seal for that's agreed upon, sort of like the USDA, that green organic seal, have something that sort of states that these are clean cosmetics and we've agreed upon a list, like a never use list of carcinogens, neurotoxins, synthetic estrogen, you know, heavy metals, like to get these ingredients out of products and for there to be some sort of an easy way for consumers to shop differently, because it is right now, it's incredibly confusing.
It's so hard. Like going to ask you that question. Like, you know, you're in the store buying makeup. How do you figure this out? Do you walk around with a list of chemicals that you should be avoiding, or is there a way to, you know, is there a resource that women can go to figure this stuff out? Like, what's the best way to figure this out?
Yeah, it is partly bring the list with you. It is also, there's a great website called the Skin Deep Database, and there's the Environmental Working Group, and you can go on there and sort of look at which companies are making your products, what these ingredients are doing in each of the products. You know, it's why I started an online store, because I just found this so confusing for myself. And once I found great products with great makers that I really trusted, I wanted to make it really easy. And there are more stores that are like that. And
tell us a little bit about Jessa, tell us about your online store, because I want to make sure before we close today that everyone knows about it. You know, if you really are trying to figure out your frustration and trying to figure out what to buy, Jessa has vetted and curated an online store of makeup and I believe skincare products too. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure thing. So it's both makeup, skincare, and then internal products as well, certain tinctures and different teas and that sort of thing, all trying to help you feel and look your best. It's called bladesnaturalbeauty.com, or you can go to it from my site, which is jessablades.com, and go to the shop section. And it's always changing, and I have just really beautiful products made with intention, and that really support the makers, because that is honestly how we change the industry too. It's how if we shop differently. So I really feel empowered by supporting these smaller brands and smaller herbalists and makers throughout the country to let them be able to plant more lemon balm next year, because we sold out of their skin, skin tonic tincture, you know, and really making
it. I love that.
Exciting. Yeah.
So for all of you listening, it's bladesnaturalbeauty.com or jessablades.com, correct, Jessa? I got that right?
Yep. Perfect. You got it perfectly.
And before we leave, I hope everyone has learned a lot, as I have, about makeup and beauty and health and how it all fits together. But Jessa, before we leave, if you could give women one parting advice as to how to empower and preserve their own inner superpowers, what would you tell them?
I would say it's time to have more fun, whether it's through making beautiful food for yourself that really supports your digestion and really, you know, calms your stomach or calms your mood, really coming together and making beautiful food that is wonderful for your vitality. And then I also say having more fun with your makeup, like getting really great products with really great ingredients, beautiful essential rose oil that's, you know, harvested with real intention, and then really enjoying it and bringing those rituals of adornment back into our lives, but from an empowered place, not from a place where we feel really vulnerable and negative and like we don't know what's going on. Like, just have fun. Wear a fun lipstick. It's not that big of a deal, but make sure it's full of great ingredients.
All right, yeah. You guys heard it. Jessa Blades is saying to have fun. I will try to take her up on that. Have fun with your makeup. Empower yourself. Live your best life. Jessa, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. This is so fun.
Take care.
Bye.